Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
What? Still in Chicago? Me. This is the part two of our episode on Adam Neumann and WeWork. I'm Robert Evans, host of Behind the Bastards podcast. Bad people. Talk about them. Introduced poorly. My guests in part two, as with part one, are Dan and Jordan.
That's me.
I pointed at the wrong ones of you.
Don't worry about it.
But I know which ones you are.
Should I do the bit? Robert?
What?
Robert?
What? I don't understand the bit.
Never mind. It's the opening bit. Never mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Oh, right. Yeah, where you ask a question. You can ask.
That would be interesting.
I didn't plan a question now.
In their podcast.
I have planned several questions.
In the podcast.
We've done 400 episodes.
Hey, Robert, do you like music?
Yeah. In the podcast that these two do, where they talk a little bit about Alex Jones, Jordan, who normally is the person who comes in cold, yes, asks Dan a question at the start. And I guess, yeah, you hit me up with a question.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. Now I'm on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Robert, have you any experience with roller coasters? What's your style on roller coasters?
I've only ever loved one roller coaster, Jordan, and it wasn't a roller coaster.
Right.
Robert is married to this roller coaster.
It was a virtual reality sort of experience in Six Flags over Texas.
Okay.
Is this like outside a Star Wars type of thing?
A little bit. Okay. You were like an F-16 pilot breaking the sound barrier.
Love it.
It was very cool. Not really a roller coaster. I don't really like roller coasters. I've been on a number of them. It's fine. It's just not my thing.
Okay.
But I liked that ride, and then Six Flags took it away. And
from you specifically.
One day.
The fuck out.
One day, I will take vengeance on
it. Okay.
Your eyes
and that is, I want to clarify, that is absolutely a terroristic threat.
One day they're going to wake up, and it's only going to be five flags. Mm-hmm. God damn it.
Yeah. I'm going to take at least 18% of those flags. I don't know how to do that percentage. It's hard.
Something along those lines. Works for me.
Within the ballpark.
And my answer is I liked that one Mr. Toad's Wild Ride thing, Wind in the Willows.
That is
fun. That book about that a frog that gets drunk and goes to hell.
Ooh, and the Brer Rabbit one run. Ooh. I loved that one both before and then in a different way after I realized how racist it was.
It was from Song of the South?
Yeah. It was a real... Before, it was just like, this is a fun ride. I'm seven.
That's just
and
Splash
after,
Mountain,
it was
though,
like,
right?
Really? Really? Still, it is 2004.
That's Splash Mountain, right? Isn't it that's the one that has the Brer Rabbit? And because
I think so.
At the end of it, you go over the waterfall,
and they killed that guy. Yeah, I think so.
And that there's so much to unpack about Splash Mountain. I mean, it has that Song of the South connection to it. There's also like a tradition of people flashing on the way down.
Yep.
Like for kids, there's a lot. There's a lot going on.
A lot going on. Very complicated. Mm-hmm. Disney parks in general.
My favorite was the Velveteen Rabbit, and you go up and you just stay down.
My favorite's the Velveteen Dream, a wrestler for NXT.
They should have a Velveteen Rabbit ride where they just take something the children love individually and destroy it in front of them. Less of a ride and more of child abuse, but
that's the
I'll
only
make
way
a
you become real.
Yeah.
That's the only way you become real.
If it were Adam, it would be a bottle of tequila.
Yes. Just thank you for bringing it back to Adam Neumann.
That's a great transition.
Very smooth.
So, we ended the last episode with WeWork nearing its height, 2016, 2017, with a lot of money, just gets this in flush $4.4 billion of fucking cash, which they use to make Adam's dumbest dreams come true.
Does he double back to the baby clothes?
In a way. Oh. Now.
Well, it was right after Trump got elected, so he just changed it to the KKK crawlers.
It did have a K. Now, before we get into all that, what he did with all this VC money, I want to start this episode by talking a little bit about cults some more. Now, WeWork has been described by a number of former employees as cult-like, and Neumann has been described as a cult leader. Former employees often call his personal charisma almost intoxicating. One former executive said, "If you had to go to war, you wanted him to be your general." Another recalled, "His sense of himself is beyond human. When you're in a room with Adam, he can almost convince you of anything." There are certainly cult-like tactics at use in WeWork. Cults endeavor to separate their members from the wider world and the friends and family they have outside the cult, and you could argue that things like Thank God It's Monday and mandatory after-hours fun events fulfill that role. They also rely on consciousness-altering drugs. This is all stuff we've talked about, keeping people tired, exhausted, fucked up. And, of course, the fact that I will note in a point of fairness that the fact that Adam himself was often one of the drunkest people in the company makes this a little bit less manipulative.
It's sort of like he kind of just digs that stuff.
Yeah, it would be a much clearer red flag if he was not drinking and handing out alcohol.
That would be beyond a red flag.
That would be deliberately drugging his employees.
Backwards into being a cult leader.
Yeah. So it's more complicated than just he's a cult leader, but he uses a lot of those tactics. Yeah. Clearly, maybe just sort of you get the feeling with him that it's a lot of it's not as much intentional as it is like instinctive.
Yeah.
Which I guess is how we get our first cult. Yeah. Some people just know how to do that.
Yeah, no, my family was in a cult whenever I was born. Mm-hmm. So I know all of the tricks and all of the ways that you get kind of accidentally swept up in all of that shit. And then next thing you know, everybody's wearing the same clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Like it happened.
Dancing around a fire to Journey.
Yeah. Tragic.
That's the drain. Everybody circles.
Although people should consider joining the cult that I'm going to start.
Is that right?
What do you got? Oh, yeah.
What do you got?
Give me the
elevator pitch. We're people to talk in elevators.
I mean, it's a mix of people gifting me with large amounts of machetes.
Great.
Great start. Getting really high and shoving Adam Neumann off of buildings.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be a good cult.
I feel
it, man.
I was just contemplating that there's a shelf life to this thing, as there's one Adam Neumann.
There is. We'll
one
find
of the
other
tenets
people.
Of this cult. There's
the great thing about shoving people off of buildings is there's always more people in more buildings.
That's true. Or effigies.
You can just keep shoving, which is our motto.
Just keep shoving.
Is there going to be a Brigham Young to this Adam Neumann WeWork situation?
Maybe. We haven't, actual time hasn't really hit that point yet, so I can't say.
All right.
Now, if we're going to compare Neumann to a cult leader and WeWork to a cult, Keith Raniere's Nexium cult might be the best one to reference. Listeners to part 3 of our series on Keith Raniere and Nexium will recall that he hosted a yearly event called Vanguard Week, where followers from all over the globe would fly in to celebrate Keith's birthday. In the same vein, WeWork had Summer Camp, an annual event where employees would gather, celebrate, and network. Here's the New York Times talking about this fun set of days. All kinds of activities were offered: yoga, axe throwing, leaf printing, a drum circle, along with entertainment by an expensive array of visiting performers. The Chainsmokers once played and received WeWork stock as part of their fee, while The Weeknd was flown in from Toronto by helicopter. Tenacious We, an employee band, has also performed. Sounds insufferable.
That's terrible. I don't even want to see the real version.
It was just so much everything, one former executive said. Alcohol, drugs, there was not a lot of food. That was the only thing there wasn't a lot of.
Anything that would bulwark you against
the alcohol and the drugs. Oh, yeah.
I'm super high already, but I'm very hungry. I'm going to eat all of these mushrooms.
Yeah.
Just for sustenance.
That has happened to me once, and I...
It's not a great food.
No, nor is it a great idea.
As you were describing that festival, I did point at you very aggressively because they kind of almost swung you with the axe throwing, didn't they?
Look, my cult would indeed center around lots of drugs, throwing axes,
sure,
dancing around fires.
The Weeknd.
Well, that song sounds... often, actually, I do quite like.
Your cult sounds suspiciously like the Great Outdoor Games. So
No. There's no game. I feel like adding an element of competition to throwing sharp objects at inert things cheapens it.
That's fair.
You're just throwing axes and knives for the joy of throwing sharp things at wooden things.
You don't want to ruin the purity of the turf, as it were.
Exactly. Now, summer camp included educational interludes, like speeches from quantum physicist Michael Brooks, alongside beer pong and dancing to electronic music. And in the midst of these days-long bacchanals, two employees plied with drugs, limitless alcohol, little food, and less sleep, Adam Neumann would preach his gospel. In a 2013 summer camp, he took to the stage to say, "I think the thing that all of us know is that if you want to succeed in this world, you have to build something that has intention. Every one of us is here because it has meaning, because we want to do something that actually makes the world a better place, and we want to make money doing it." The crowd, reportedly, broke into wild cheers at this. One former senior executive who was there later recalled, "So many of the people were young and had never worked in a real company. They bought all of it. I realized after I got there it was a cult." Now, summer camp started as an event on the land of some of Neumann's friends, but in 2017, it moved to the English countryside. Using some of the billions of new money pumped in via SoftBank's $4.4 billion infusion, they flew employees in from all around the world. Attendees reported that they were allowed to walk up to the bar and ask for multiple entire bottles of wine at once. People played Edward 40 hands with fancy bottles of rosé, which is what I would do.
Yeah.
That part sounds great.
That's your God-given duty.
When you realize the liquor is free and expensive and they'll just hand you bottles, that's what you do.
Have you ever done that? Take 40s to your hands?
Yeah.
Attaboy.
The worst thing I've done in fucking Ljubljana, Slovenia, was you can buy 2 liters of wine in a gigantic juice box for about $1.50.
Mm-hmm.
And you mix it with equal parts Pepsi. And it is the worst idea.
Doesn't sound like a good idea.
Terrible.
Do you duct tape those to your hands?
No, we just drank. Okay. I blacked out throwing an empty bottle on top of a stranger's roof, and I came to alone without any of my friends near me, receiving a falafel from somebody, having already paid with my phone gone, 9 a.m, like 8 hours later. It's the first time, only time that's ever happened. We're just like, I black out and I come back in the middle of a transaction.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you had won the friendship contest, I assume.
I was alone.
Oh, no.
I had lost the friendship contest.
The prize was a falafel. I did that once. I duct taped 40s to my hands.
Oh, I've done Edward 40 hands, just not with wine. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's terrible. It's terrible because you eventually have to pee.
Yeah, and Steel Reserve isn't something anyone should drink 2 of.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah.
Me and my buddies had a thing we did called Freedom 40s. That was, you have to chug a 40 in 9 minutes and 11 seconds or else the terrorists win. It's shockingly hard to do.
Because 40s are ghastly.
Yeah.
Literally the best way to forget.
Yeah. Now, one employee later told the New York Times that she realized it was time to quit WeWork when she woke up in a teepee at summer camp to find one of her colleagues outside pissing on her tent. That employee later told New York Magazine, "Talk to any community manager under 24, and it's the greatest weekend of your life, but I am not here to get peed on." Now, I'm going to quote one more time from that New York Magazine article discussing the 2018 summer camp, which, spoilers, would prove to be the last one. at last year's event, according to a report in Property Magazine, a British real estate publication. Norman sat on stage next to his wife and McKelvey as the crowd sang "Ole Ole Ole." A WeWork employee from India started chanting "Let's go WeWork, let's go," while another from California screamed, "You're changing the world, Adam. We love you." Augusto Contreras, a WeWork employee from Mexico City, proposed to his girlfriend next to a dodgeball tournament. "I felt like I was surrounded by my extended family," he told the company blog. He had been at WeWork for 7 months. So they find the people who are vulnerable to this, and they're very vulnerable to it.
When you said that it was the last one, I expected that story to be something like really tragic or like fire festival-y, but that just
performed there, though.
You're sucking in people who need what this pretends to provide.
Yeah.
It doesn't really provide it, but that's coming later. Now, that Fast Company article I've quoted from a couple of times in this episode was released in 2016, and it provides even more detail on the profoundly culty way that Adam presented himself at company events. Quote, "A Beatles chorus bounces off the bare concrete walls of what was once J.P. Morgan's headquarters. Come together, right now. The nearly 1,000 chattering WeWork employees who fill the event space look toward the stage, expecting CEO Adam Neumann to appear from the wings at any second. Instead, he sprints down the center aisle, and giddy conversations evolve into a cheer. When John Lennon trills, 'Over me,' Neumann leaps onto the stage, sticking the landing." So this is the way this guy's presenting himself to his employees, and kind of seems like a lot of them made it up.
Yeah.
Wall Street has already come out by this time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They should know better.
They should know better, right?
But people never learn about this.
Yeah. So many movies about this guy.
I mean, World War II came out, and we all know what happened in 2016, so...
Have you...
The basis for Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched like the presentations that like MLMs, like the multi-level marketing company?
Yeah, yeah. It's, this is exactly
very
that.
Similar.
Yeah.
I've watched a number of those like those seminars and the gatherings that they do, and that has all of those signs.
I want to, I try to repeat frequently that I think everybody has a kind of grift that they're vulnerable to.
Yeah.
No matter how smart, because it has nothing to do with intelligence. It has everything to do with the fact that everybody has needs, and particularly secret needs, that even they don't know how to voice a lot of the time. And if someone other than you, particularly predators, what they're good at is seeing things in others that they don't see in themselves but that are present. If they're able to pick that out, they'll get you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter how smart and well-read you are. They'll get you. We all have a thing. And Adam found a group of people who I think were raised on stories like Apple's, the history of the Apple Corp, the Google Corporation, these companies that like changed the world and had these like grand visions and like these legendary leaders. And everybody got super fucking rich too. And Adam knew how to create the feeling that that's what was going on here. Mm. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was just leasing office space. Like, it wasn't literally like Google. That is like a revolution. We organized the world's information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Apple. We changed fundamentally the way that daily life exists for billions of people.
Yeah.
Those are companies where you really can't oversell at least the impact of what's happening.
Right.
These people are leasing office space.
But
he's made
got
it
kegs.
Feel like that. Yeah, but there's kid that is part of why it felt like that.
It is like he watched that Apple commercial where the hammer is thrown into the giant screen and all the drones are there, and he was like, "What if I made all those drones? Those guys were super cool."
Yeah, that seems like that's the thing I want to be.
I want to throw a hammer in shit. Everything will fall down. It'll be terrible.
It's hard for me not to think that like none of this would be possible without booze. Like
it's not for nothing that alcohol is in every story you read about WeWork.
It really seems very
The only way to have achieved the inflated sense of self-confidence that was clearly a major aspect of this would have been to give everyone free guns, which is how my cult's gonna work.
I thought it was machetes.
Machetes don't do it enough, man. It's got to be an AK-47.
I understand.
No, that makes you feel like a revolutionary, like holding a Kalashnikov.
That's what I hear.
And then we're going to shove people off of buildings. Adam Neumann at first.
From each according
to the bullets they have, to each according to the bullets they deserve. Is that...
that's really good.
I feel like I should also abstain from this bit.
And here's our special third guest, FBI agent Don.
Chicago's finest.
There's actually a lot more than one of you. Okay.
Joining us right now, the entire Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
not fans. Now,
and they have deep dish pizza.
I refuse to try it.
That's fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Everyone I know from Chicago has said that.
It's fine.
Only people not from Chicago are like, oh, you got to try the deep dish pizza. We're all fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's like Calimax. It's not as good as Tex-Mex. I'll say it. I lived in both.
Fair
I'm
enough.
Not nearly as good.
I have no dog in the pizza fight.
You know, speaking of dog fights, not speaking of dog fights.
It's the beginning to the worst sentence in the world.
Speaking of dog fights, you know who would never train dogs to fight?
Who is that?
Michael Vick?
At one point, you probably would assume he wouldn't.
That's yeah. True. That's true. When he was five, yeah, six.
Sure.
And like a 5-year-old Michael Vick, someone who is incapable of hosting dog fights, is the sponsors of this show.
Silky.
One of the better ad transitions on this series. Off we go. The evidence keeps pouring in. At this point, the facts are undeniable. It's an open and shut case. Monopoly Go is the most fun you can have in a mobile game. Millions of people pass Go every day because this game is always bringing something new to the table. Countless crazy tournaments you can join with your friends as partners or teams. Constantly changing challenges like money sprees or treasure hunts that keep it fresh with new wild minigames. Timed events offering bonuses like massive multipliers or rent frenzies to help you get huge rewards. And there's so many rewards to discover. Rare stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums, delightful emojis to taunt people with when you raid their riches, unique playing pieces, and so much more. The verdict is in with Monopoly Go. There's something new to discover every time you play. So don't miss out. Go download it now for free on the App Store and Google Play.
Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless, when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/behind. That's mintmobile.com/behind. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/behind. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're back! Oh, what I loved about those products and services was that none of them were for dogfights.
That's true. It's true.
Sometimes you just can't abandon the dogfight bit when you should.
It's hard to abandon a dogfight bit.
But it's also rare these days for me to guest on a podcast that isn't sponsored by a dogfighting ring.
It is. Well, and you know, I just should say, if you use the promo code BASTARDS, you get access to the 24-hour streaming dogfights, all the best dogfights. We got chihuahuas.
And all the sabermetrics about, like, the
Oh, yeah. You get into the fantasy dogfighting league. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
totally.
Okay. So, Now, shortly after Adam Neumann founded WeWork, he'd made what seemed to be at the time an impossible promise, that his company would one day beat out J.P. Morgan and become the largest private office tenant in the city of New York. Given that New York is New York, that's a pretty huge deal. Like,
so J.P. Morgan was prior the most office space.
The gigantic bank worth all of the money in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
So saying I'm going to beat them. That's a big thing to hit.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2018, this dream became a reality. WeWork now leased 5 million square feet over 50 locations across the city. So
all of it.
Still not making money, correct?
Not a profit. They're making money, but not net. Not net.
Revenue.
Yeah. Now, those locations, as we got into a little bit, were leased with venture capital money, not actual profits made by the company. And those offices were kept full due to free rent offers and lease buyouts, which is not a strategy that can continue forever.
Man, you could just give people homes. You could give people homes for less, and it would make more sense.
It does feel like people talk about, like, we can't afford universal health care, and then it's like, how much money did WeWork blow through?
Just blew.
Like, even outside of how much money did we spend on the F-35, which is actually vastly higher. Like,
yeah,
but,
sure.
But still.
And if he, like, housed people instead of all these offices, those people would get tons of booze.
Yep, yep. They'd be drunk as shit. Now, SoftBank's massive investment seemed to confirm Adam's grand boast about the importance of his company, and his ego swelled consequently. He started talking to colleagues about his desire for eternal life.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
This is like Moon Base all over again.
Yeah.
Nope.
Here we go.
Nope.
This is where it begins.
This is where Dan's ears perk up.
He invested in Life Biosciences, a life extension startup, to further this end. The company mission is to create a future where age-related decline is not a fact of life. Adam increasingly threw out wild ideas for ways WeWork could expand to areas well outside of its wheelhouse. Sometime after 2017, he started talking about starting an airline called WeFly.
It's this type of shit where you look in history, mm-hmm, and you're like, how is it that people got sold on fucking alchemy and the Philosopher's Stone and eternal life? And then you look at that guy and you're like, they're still doing it.
Yeah, they're still doing it.
In fairness, WeFly kind of like... It's a fine enough name for
an airline. It's just like, what's your experience renting buildings to companies? What do you want to do? Run an airline.
What is an airplane but an office?
Sky office.
Yeah, exactly.
That is actually where these episodes were written.
Robert.
The WoW Airlines in Iceland that used to exist.
The World of Warcraft Airlines.
Yeah, exactly.
And there was Wizz Air, which is the worst airline.
They started as like a bike share company, and their next move was like, I think we'll run an airline.
Turns out those skills do not translate. Weird.
Wow.
Now, Adam increasingly threw out wild ideas for ways WeWork could expand into areas. Well, outside. Oh, right. I read that a little bit. Oh, yeah. So WeFly is one. There was also talk of WeSail and something called WeSleep, which I have no idea what that was supposed to be.
Probably briefly discussed mattresses.
Yeah, maybe mattresses, like maybe like a sleep lab. He briefly discussed his ambition to become Israel's prime minister before amending that to say that if he ran for any office, it would be for president of the world.
That's an office.
Cool.
Part of how you know this was a little bit culty is that if my boss, this podcast, Jack O'Brien,
mm-hmm,
someone I have great respect for, I've worked with him 11, 12 years now, the vast majority, basically all of my working life. If he told me seriously that if he ever ran for office, it would be for president of the world, and it wasn't like a bad joke, I would just start punching. And I love Jack.
Yeah.
But that's what you do.
Yeah,
when you care about someone and they say shit, you just start hitting them.
It's a mentality that needs to be gone from
them. It needs to be hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't do that.
Especially when it's paired with, like, I'm trying to put money into life extension technology and I want a Mars base.
I
want to
live forever and be president of the world.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to hit you with this brick. Like, this is what needs to happen now.
You have become a problem and I have a visceral response to that. Yeah.
You can be president of the world with one eye. That's what you should do.
You will not have both of your eyes while you do it. I will make sure of that.
I think it is inevitable that if there is a president of the world, they will have one eye. Like, there will be an eye patch situation. Because it'll be a dystopian, like, water world type of...
Yeah.
I was going with, what is his name? D-Boy from Friday, the president of the world in Fifth Element.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a great president of
the world. That's the one that I'm all about.
I will say, as an anarchist, I have a lot of different conflicting always shifting ideas about how I think the world ought to be. One thing I'm certain of is that based on my ideology, if I ever think someone might become the president of the world, I'm going to try to hit him with a brick.
I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. Although I also think that
I'm going to try to brick him. Yeah,
I think that anytime you hear someone say like, I want to be president of the world, like, what scares me about that is not the possibility they'll become president of the world. Mm-hmm. It's just what that implies about their mental
state.
It's the
ego.
Yeah, it's like,
because it's like,
this is trouble.
Like, I would have a very negative reaction to somebody who was like, I'm going to be president.
Yeah.
Because that's a bad thing to want to be.
Yeah.
But somebody wants to be president of the world, that's a bricking.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a bricking.
It's a dubious mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the truth is the only people that should be in power are the people who don't want to be in power, and that's why we're fucked.
Mm-hmm. Now, all of this we've been talking about for several minutes now was a paragraph, and I haven't read the last sentence. And it's the most insufferable sentence.
Mic down, Jordan.
In the 2018 summer camp, Adam Neumann promised that WeWork would solve the problem of children without parents and then eradicate world hunger.
We're going to kill children without parents.
Yes, just start gassing orphans. Yes.
They shan't be hungry, then.
WeWork's value soared past $10 billion, then past $20 billion. Adam Neumann was now, on paper at least, a billionaire himself.
So there was no indication of how he planned to solve those problems?
No, none whatsoever.
Okay.
Well, a little bit. We'll get to that a little bit.
Right.
We'll get to that a little bit.
I'll be patient.
I posted a Medium post right after mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren. And
made a white paper.
Yeah.
You know, he actually, if he had, that would have been more thought than I think he gave to it.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. He immediately started bragging after becoming a billionaire, again, on paper, that his personal goal was to become the world's first trillionaire.
Again, do we not have
brick
one?
Brick him good. No.
No, we don't have one.
Oh.
No, it's no one's really even close. Jeff Bezos is, like, Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates are, like, at 120 million, something like that.
Okay. 100 billion, yeah,
that's
yeah.
not even all that close to a trillion.
I have so little interest in money stuff that I just assumed we had a couple.
I feel like it is a matter of like the survival of civilization level importance that we not let anyone reach that level.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a matter of survival that we don't allow billionaires to exist until the next year.
We've got to stop that too.
Yeah, that's got to go.
Yeah, that's a brickin. If you want to be a trillionaire, that's a brickin.
I see a shirt in your future.
Yeah.
That's a brickin.
That's a brickin. You want to be a I'm going to hit you with a brick.
Yeah.
I just got to do it.
If you were a stand-up comedian touring the Midwest, you would sell a lot of that's a brickin shirts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the reality of Adam's wealth was less impressive. He made millions as WeWork CEO, because that's what CEOs do. And he made millions more from having the company lease from properties he owned. But he also had borrowed more than $740 million against his stock in the company, a thing that is legal for some reason. He sold hundreds of millions of dollars worth of his own shares. This was often done in a very shady fashion. For example, in 2015, he sold tens of millions of dollars worth of shares. Then he had the company launch a stock buyback program to buy employee shares of stock. The buyback program offered employees a per-share price that was markedly lower than what Neumann had been paid for his stock. And since Adam's stock sales weren't public, WeWork's employees didn't realize they were being screwed to subsidize Adam's lifestyle.
Man, I feel like all those guys who are like, okay, here's what we'll do to increase productivity. Create a cult and fuck over everybody I work with could really be served by like reading all the literature where they're like, if you pay people a living wage and give them benefits and give them time off, they will work more for you on their own.
Jordan, that is not how you become president of the world.
It's definitely not. You know how you become president of the world?
Crazy shit.
It's racism. It's racism.
Oh, no.
Now, because it's the world, it's a number of different racisms because you got to be able to...
It's a balancing act.
Mexicans, Tibetans... Yeah. You got to really all over the world racism.
I feel like
really
you start
a lot
with
of racism.
Religion and then move to race. But that's my advice.
But even then, you've got to.
I wonder what it'll be. I wonder. We might see it in our lifetimes, and I'm really curious. Yeah, I'm really curious to see whether or not it's a racism or a religious bigotry thing.
Yeah.
Well, no, which sort of bigotry wins?
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like it'll be one president who's like. fuck all these different individual races that I've calculated will maximize my vote. Right. And one president will be like, fuck this specific religion.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like, so what, it'll be like a focus-tested racism versus instinctual racism.
I mean, it's actually going to come down to Hillary versus Trump again, very frustratingly.
Yeah. The MPAA has to review what type of racism in a bunch of focus groups. Yeah, gotcha.
Now, during this time, Adam and Rebecca bought a $90 million collection of homes around the world, including a 60-acre estate in Westchester County.
Glad to see those kids made it. That marriage worked.
It did.
I expected a divorce by now.
You know, it's weird. When you have hundreds of millions of dollars, it's easy to stay married.
Yeah.
Which really speaks to how unpleasant Jeff Bezos' marriage must have been.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not going to comment on that anymore. They had a $21 million mansion in the Bay Area with a room shaped like a guitar. They hired several nannies for their children, two personal assistants, and a chef. Even as much money as Adam was worth, his spending was incredibly excessive. And so was WeWork's spending. While Adam's craziest ideas, like establishing an airline, never went into production, the company did embark on a number of side hustles at his direction. They created WeLive, essentially a very expensive apartment complex with no privacy. Adam said this would drive suicide rates down because no one feels alone.
Elevator talk. I'm getting really uncomfortable. But that is kind of the natural progression. If they're making this company,
company towns. Yeah.
Yeah. You've created this, like, this is the workspace we now own that. Why wouldn't you then get into we're getting into your living?
Yeah. I tried to create a workspace / living space. So why not just create a living space / workspace? Yeah.
They also created a gym. I think it was called We Rise.
That should be their bakery.
That should be their bakery. I know. Missed opportunities. And then they created WeGrow. This was a school that Adam hoped would eventually expand into a project to house all the world's orphans.
Jesus.
Adam said, this fucking sentence, you guys. Adam said of WeGrow's plan to save the orphans, "We want to solve this problem and give them a new family, the WeWork family."
I'm speechless. That's terrifying.
What kind of person says that?
A crazy, like a just a
straight up insane person.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was a moment. I wonder this because this is a quite like in the movie of this dude's life. Does he have that Scarface moment where it's like you can see him just go past that point and it's like everything past this is just going to be insane.
It's probably that night on the roof.
It was that night on the roof, maybe. Yeah.
When he might have been that night on the roof.
I can get people to do anything if they'll drink this poop beer. Right,
could be.
With the thing on the roof, and then
this is going to be an insufferable movie, isn't it? That makes him into like a cool guy.
It'll be another Social Network.
I want to do it like Wall Street, but it turned out that even when you satirize these evil people are going to be like, that's a great idea.
There should be a law that when you do a movie like Wolf of Wall Street, there needs to be a 7-minute scene wherein the character shits himself.
Yeah.
Just really unbecoming.
Yeah.
Just
make him embarrassing.
And make it uncomfortable for the audience. You know, it should be hard to get over that hump.
You should expect it to be over like 3 minutes in and then it just keeps
and not
going.
Like, not like funny, not like the vomiting scene in Team America, like just bad, just a bad thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
Because it happened.
I feel like that's a regulation we could pass.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's bipartisan appeal.
Yeah. The movie shitting bill has passed through both houses is now on the president's desk. He was reportedly unable to sign today as he was too busy chopping off his enormous poop so that it could flush in less than 10 flushes. That did happen. That's just part of politics in America.
That's just where we live.
You can't remove that from the history books.
It's where we live now.
Yeah. Amazing. It's going to be really funny if we get past, as a nation, him being in office and don't collapse into a civil war, to hear people talk about the dignity of the presidency again. Like, really, it's going to be like, I hope I get to be on TV at some point when that happens and just going to be left. Did you hear the poop speech?
I mean, historically, the dignity of the presidency was lost you know, I guess after Andrew
it
Jackson.
It was always an illusion. But yeah. Even Jackson presented himself in a stately manner and stuff.
Right,
like,
but like a 6 foot tall wheel of cheese is where I get off board on the dignity of the presidency.
That's the best thing he did.
A 3 week old 6 foot tall wheel of cheese.
I feel there's like that's different than accusing everyone else in the country of needing 15 flushes to get their poop down the toilet. And everyone listening knowing, like, you couldn't get a poop down the toilet. Could you, the president?
It's like you told on yourself there with this speech. It's me. Like, bad.
No one else is having trouble with this.
Yeah. Here I am, having pooped for 4 days, and it takes 10 flushes.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that, like, the office is undignified historically forever, but I think there is a value to a shared illusion.
Yeah.
And that's kind of gone. No, I think.
There's a value, but it's not a good or a bad thing. No, it's just a value in the same way that an AR-15 has a value.
Right.
Now, when we'd last, before we went on this digression, I'd said that Adam wanted to solve the problem of parentless children and give them a new family, the WeWork.
Right, that's
family.
Why we went on the digression, because that's fucking crazy.
It is. It's a nuts
that's
fucking
crazy.
Sentence. Now, before WeWork could house the world's orphans, though.
We're going to put them on trains, because nobody's ever done this before, and we'll send it all the way across the nation.
You know, it's better than that.
Yeah.
It's better than that, but dumber.
Okay. We train.
In order to make WeGrow get to the point where it could house all of the world's orphans, it was going to start as a luxury boutique school for the children of rich people, charging the very wealthy in New York City $36,000 to $42,000 a year to educate their small children.
Well, this seems like the opposite.
Right. So we're going to solve the world's homeless orphan problem by making it impossible for them to afford this.
With Waldorf education.
I imagine him flying down to a group of Syrian refugees, fleeing like a barrel bombing in Idlib, and like putting a hand on one of their shoulders and saying, in like 20 years when the cost comes down, I'm going to take care of you.
One. Oh, yeah.
Right now?
Absolutely.
No way.
For now, it's
no
just
way.
Sean Penn's kids.
And they're getting a great education.
Absolutely.
I believe it.
Do you know who Sean Penn is? Oh, you're dead.
About that.
Now, WeGrow was Rebecca Neumann's project, his wife. She'd been a core part of WeWork from the beginning, of course. In 2017, the company had hired SoulCycle founder Julie Rice as their chief brand officer. But when Rebecca came back from maternity leave later that year, she decided she wanted the title for herself. And took it, so Julie had to quit.
Okay, according to WeWork's established business practices, she should have been fired.
Yeah,
and demoted. I'm disappointed by this.
She was. That's what happened. Yeah.
Because she was originally the chief brand officer, right? Yeah, yeah. So.
But then Rebecca got it.
Yeah.
Well, then they support this decision, apparently.
Rebecca is somewhat famous among WeWorkers for firing people she met and got bad vibes from. One example is a mechanic for the company Gulfstream Private Jet, who was shit-canned because Rebecca, quote, didn't like his energy. So she's the kind of person we all like. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, she was the perfect person to design a brand new school from the ground up. Rebecca, of course, had no relevant experience in education.
And also,
teaching children and running a school.
What if these kids have bad vibes?
Well, yeah, then you just kill them. You throw them off the top of that building.
It's real trouble. Someone who's like so, yeesh.
I've always felt what was missing from public education was more capriciousness.
Yeah.
And good vibes.
Yeah, good vibes.
Yeah, she had no relevant experience, but she didn't think that really mattered. She told interviewers that her vision for WeGrow was a new conscious entrepreneurial school committed to unleashing every child's superpowers. At the school's opening, she reportedly stated, "In my book, there's no reason why children in elementary schools can't be launching their own businesses."
Labor laws?
Not if they're running shit, Jordan.
I mean, if
not
you
like, I'm gonna hire a bunch of 8-year-olds to work in this coal mine. I mean, fucking nailing it.
If you want to do a school where you're like, hey, you, it's cool to do a lemonade stand and learn some lessons from it. I don't know how. I'm not gonna die on that hill arguing against that. But it sounds like that's not what she's talking about.
No, she wants them making their own Wii.
Didn't the Olsen twins even wait until they were 18 to start their fashion brand or whatever?
I think they did.
Yes.
And I think that maybe working their entire childhood had some negative mental health implications, but I don't want to speak for them. It's telling that kind of the best case scenario for children who work a lot as children is Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, well, his best role was in Party Monster, which I'm sure
has he's fucking awesome in Party Monster. That's a great movie. And he's great.
Yeah, he's great in Party.
I like Macaulay Culkin, and I'm glad he made it out.
He was also good in Saved.
He's also good in Saved. It's tough, is what I'm saying, being a child who works heavily as a child. It's not. Maybe it's not good for children. maybe children shouldn't work a lot.
give me the backing of thousands upon thousands of psychological studies, and then I will listen.
Yeah. You know what psychologically would be awesome for kids in school? Fucking looking at payroll, inventory.
Because it's like you talk about like child actors and actresses. Obviously, a lot of them have very negative experiences.
Yeah.
It's a damaging thing, which is why like we have so much respect for like Daniel Radcliffe's parents, who are like, no, we're not going to let our kid move to fucking Los Angeles. Right. Like you either film it in the UK, like because we're just not going to put him through that. It's tough. It does things to them, and they're not in charge. They actually have a lot of people there to support them, and it still is very difficult to deal with healthily. Having a kid managing payroll, having a kid managing like debt and like venture capital, and like, what a bad idea!
It seems like woefully stupid.
Now, WeGrow launched in the fall of 2018. It was housed in WeWork's headquarters. Problems immediately cropped up due to the fact that Rebecca and her colleagues had failed to anticipate minor details like paying the school security guards. HR had apparently forgotten to add them to payroll, so this was an immediate bump in the log.
That'll happen.
Sometimes you don't pay the people, the little people.
When you're trying to start a school for entrepreneurs, sure, you're going to make mistakes that entrepreneurs shouldn't make.
To be fair,
under no circumstances should not make.
To be fair, a second grader was in charge of HR. Yeah. So.
And security.
Yeah, so these things will happen.
Now,
it's a learning experience.
Other problem.
You need some ideas before you get
here. Other problems came as a result of Becca's own peculiar preferences. She made a rule that parents were allowed to wait in the school lounge to pick up children, but nannies had to wait outside in the vestibule. This was reportedly because Rebecca didn't want her own children's nannies to enter the school. One person close to the school told interviewers the whole thing was about her and what was right for her children.
Right.
Yeah.
What if I made a school based on Downton Abbey? Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
Rebecca herself told Fast Company something similar. She claimed that the inspiration for WeGrow had come when she and Adam were looking for fancy rich people schools for their five kids. And quote, "We couldn't find the school that we felt would nurture growth. These children come into the world. They are very evolved. They are very special. They're spiritual.
They're
all natural
children.
Not entrepreneurs. Natural humanitarians. And then it seems like we squash it all out of them in the education system."
Boy, this sounds familiar.
I can't think of anybody.
This is very reminiscent of like kind of a lot of the extreme right homeschool kind of. Yeah.
There's some aspects of a lot of different things.
Yeah,
in that. Now, like everything else the Neumanns embarked on, WeGrow put style before substance. The school was designed by a famous architect and featured a vertical garden and whatever acoustic clouds are on the ceiling. WeWork bought an alternative college startup, Mission U, in order to hire a COO for WeGrow, who presumably knew something about teaching kids. Curriculum included classes on mindfulness, yoga, meditation, and farming. All meals were vegetarian. I don't have any problem with the last two parts. I just include them for context. Mindfulness and meditation?
Yeah.
Maybe not a great idea for teaching kids. I don't know.
9-year-olds love
can't hurt.
Quiet and cold spaces. Yeah. That's what they're for.
We'll talk about mindfulness in another episode. As WeWork matured and started expanding.
We're doing mindfulness this week.
Fuck that shit.
Robert Evans takes down meditation.
Don't think. I wouldn't have lit nearly as many fires as I've lit in my life if I thought.
Right.
And
right.
I've learned so much from those fires. What happens when insulation catches on fire? What happens when drywall catches on fire? What happens when shingles catch on fire?
Basically,
what
a
happens
scientist.
When people catch on fire? All lessons I wouldn't have had if I'd thought more.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. I retract. I retract now, my support of meditation.
As WeWork matured and started expanding into every conceivable realm, Adam began to revamp his ideas about the We generation. He modified this to what he called me plus Wii.
There we go. That's what I was waiting for. I literally was about to say that he's going to say it's the me generation, but never mind.
And then he's going to get sued by Pepsi.
Yeah.
He explained at a WeWork summit, quote, "On one hand, you want to be your own person, have your own goals. And on the other hand, you understand that being a part of something greater than yourself is an amazing opportunity and actually makes you stronger." Now, Adam had earlier claimed that WeWork's multi-billion dollar valuation was much more based on our energy and spirituality than it is on a multiple of revenue, pointing out that his real estate leasing business was not a real estate business, but instead a community company. We're not selling office space. We're selling community.
It's amazing that
the thing that can't be sold.
Rich people are always telling us that it's just not about money, Robert.
It's only about money for, again, people who will die immediately without a little bit more of it.
Right, but we can put them on trains and solve homelessness or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've noticed at this point, like, there's been literally no conversation at all about, like, people having good experiences in WeWork offices. Or like
I'm sure they exist.
That actual community that he intends to build actually
there's
being
a lot
built.
Of turnover. It's not like early Apple where it's like people stay for fucking ever.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of stuff you hear about early Google. There's a ton of turnover.
But he's not even talking about this like great thing that he's bringing into the world being about the employees of WeWork. It's the people who rent the office space.
And it's always vague and undefined ideas in the community too because it's not real. He's selling this to the bosses.
But I mean, in reality, if you're working at a WeWork space, it's just a very mundane office space.
Yeah.
Like if you're working at WeWork,
but they have cakes.
Slightly better interior design.
Yeah,
you know.
I worked at a shared office space for a while, and it was just. It was fine. Everybody was there.
Yeah.
I could never like I don't know. I can't be productive in a space where I can't. Wander around shirtless with an AR-15 strapped to my chest.
Right.
We all have our process.
Strapped or taped?
Strapped. No. Okay. I have a very nice sling. Now, several. Okay. You know who doesn't sell slings for AR-15s?
Maybe.
Yet, although we're courting them.
Yes.
The products and services that sponsor this show. The evidence keeps pouring in. At this point, the facts are undeniable. It's an open and shut case. Monopoly Go is the most fun you can have in a mobile game. Millions of people pass Go every day because this game is always bringing something new to the table. Countless crazy tournaments you can join with your friends as partners or teams. Constantly changing challenges like money sprees or treasure hunts that keep it fresh with new wild mini-games. Timed events offering bonuses like massive multipliers or rent frenzies to help you get huge rewards. And there's so many rewards to discover. Rare stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums, delightful emojis to taunt people with when you raid their riches, unique playing pieces, and so much more. The verdict is in with Monopoly Go. There's something new to discover every time you play. So don't miss out. Go download it now for free on the App Store and Google Play.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. For just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
We're back. We're talking about a thing that we won't talk about. After this will be a mystery for the nine of you who are listening after that digression about dogfighting.
Strangely enough, Michael Vick is still listening.
Michael Vick, big supporter of the pod.
This show.
Really
loves this show.
Huge into the podcast. And you know what? I support north of 60% of what he's done with his life.
A lot of passes.
A lot of passes. We're good.
A lot of runs.
Paid his rent on time for a spell.
He was a good football player.
I don't know anything about Michael Vick other than the dog fighting.
And football. Those are the only two things I know as well.
I don't know anything about the football. I know he was a footballer, sure. But
he's,
I don't know. I can't analyze him.
He was pretty good.
Below 60%. He's run for more than 100 yards in it. Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Nerd.
So he was good. He was good at the balls.
Oh, he's very good at the balls.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, no, because of the dog fighting. But now I understand more.
Yeah.
Now, Adam Neumann's most constant refrain when he talked about WeWork to his employees was this. And this is a quote. "We are here in order to change the world. Nothing less than that interests me." And for a while, it seemed like that really might be happening. By 2018, WeWork had 466,000 members working out of 485 locations in more than 100 cities in 28 countries. It had more than doubled its revenue every year of its existence. Not only was it Manhattan's largest tenant, but in central London it controlled more space than anyone but the British government. So this is like you can't overstate like how much this company fucking expands, right?
Right. Well, chances are if you own anything in London, you're an evil person.
Yes. Including the British government.
Yeah.
It seems to be all the metrics of like success are all just sort of geographical and like,
and not based on actually profiting
anything other than
just based on and they don't own these buildings. They're leasing them.
Yeah.
They're leasing them.
So even the geographical brag is kind of a liability.
Yeah.
That's,
I feel like you can't be the most profitable company if you're essentially a middleman.
Seems like that shouldn't be possible, huh?
Yeah,
seems like you're almost offering nothing.
Yeah.
Huh.
You're just in the way of getting a thing.
I wonder if this will ever crash and burn in a page or two.
No, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's going to go great.
As the summer of 2018 rolled on, there were increasing signs of trouble within the company. One warning came out of what could be plausibly described as Adam's good intentions, his desire to ban the eating of meat, or at least the subsidizing of the eating of meat by his company.
By exchanging it for tequila.
From the Wall Street Journal. When Mr. Neumann announced in July 2018 via video call from Israel that the company was banning meat, executives in New York were caught off guard. With little explanation from Mr. Neumann, a group huddled around to determine a rationale. They settled on sustainability and the mechanics of what would be banned and how. They determined employees couldn't expense meals with meat, but that they could eat it in company offices so long as the company didn't pay. Former employees say they have since seen Mr. Neumann eat meat. So he gets a hair up his ass that eating meat is bad. Fine. I'm even down with the idea of a big company being like, we're not going to use company money to support the eating of meat anymore. Good. Fine.
Yeah,
the
but
defining
clearly,
characteristic of the aristocracy is caprice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The important thing here is not the meat thing. It's the idea that like this guy has an idea and now what is a multi-billion-dollar company has to change on a dime.
Yep.
And
but,
that's not good.
But I honestly think he's like not going far enough. Like still letting people eat meat in the office. Like that, you know.
I think still letting people
I don't know if you can legally do that, to be honest.
Yeah, it'd probably be tough.
I don't know if you could legally stop people on their lunch breaks from eating whatever they wanted.
But back when I worked at Groupon, like people would, the microwave fish stuff.
And
that's
would just
a be a complete disaster.
Different. But you couldn't stop them from eating fish. You just can't microwave it.
Man, I'd like to.
You know what's fun about laws in America is technically a lot of things you can't do, but you just do it and people won't bother you.
That is true.
Yeah.
And I have a story to tell you about a machete and a naphtha bomb. But when WeWork prepared to go public, they basically bribed the major exchanges by promising to list on them if they would ban meat and single-use plastics from their cafeterias. The president of the New York Stock Exchange agreed to cut out plastics but refused to remove meat. NASDAQ turned them down but offered to create a new index, the WE50, of companies committed to sustainability. So that's Okay.
You're a big hating on plastic fork
guy. I'm not against
guy.
That. That's fine.
I'm absolutely fine with that. But that with this dude, that's like, and we're going to take the money we save from that and invest it in fracking. Like, this dude's fucked up. Like, I have no trust in him.
Yeah, and it's more of a, like, he agrees to cut that requirement out if they create a NASDAQ index about sustainable companies named after WeWork. Right.
He's got to cut it out with the Wii stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of...
They rebranded the Wii company.
Essentially extorting people for climate justice. That's fine, I guess.
So... WeWork had gotten off the ground at this point and secured major investments because of its charismatic founder. But now that the company had matured into a multi-billion dollar enterprise, it was still run as an extension of the personal will of Adam Neumann. In November of 2018, Adam showed up late and profoundly hungover to a meeting with Khaldun Khalifa Al Mubarak, the CEO and managing director of the Sovereign Wealth Fund of Abu Dhabi. This was a critical meeting. WeWork was on track to lose hundreds of millions of dollars that year, and Mubarak had gotten nervous about all of the money that he had gambled on the company's success. Adam's job at this meeting was to reassure Mubarak. The fact that WeWork's CEO couldn't stay sober long enough to take a meeting worth potentially billions of dollars rightfully angered the board.
Well, that'll happen.
That'll happen.
That'll happen.
Neumann couldn't have cared less. In the summer of 2018, he'd worked out a deal with Masayoshi and SoftBank to sell the bulk of WeWork stock to that company for $16 billion.
Okay, to be honest, this is the only relatable thing that I've heard about this guy.
Showing
so
up
far.
To a meeting hungover?
Too hungover, even though it's a really important
I've
meeting.
I've never been sober in a meeting.
Finally, I'm like, all right, I get this guy a little bit at least.
Yeah. But it is like, you know, I'm going to be honest. If there were billions of dollars on the line... I'd probably show up sober to the meeting.
Probably.
Yeah, I got a self-destructive streak. I think part of me would really want to tank this meeting on a like important level, which is why I would never have the meeting.
I would sit staring at the bottle, but thinking about all of the explosives that the billions of dollars
machetes,
would buy.
Yeah.
Militias.
I feel like
buildings to toss people off of. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'd just be sitting in a meeting just being like, I'm like the only person right now who has a chance to assassinate you. Should I do it?
If you had a billion-dollar meeting tomorrow, you'd show up drunk as shit or hungover. But if you had to go through all the steps that this dude has had to go through to get there, there's a decent chance by then you'd be like, all right, I'm going to take this seriously.
I'm going to do this, take this seriously, this thing that like the thing that I've built for 10 years.
You would become acclimated to like the cult you're building.
If you had a critical meeting about your book, you would probably force yourself to be in the kind of mind state to deal with like a publisher.
Yeah, I would hope so.
You would hope so.
And if you didn't.
But I have yet to prove that.
That's true.
And if you didn't, that's a bad sign.
Now, I do want to become president of the world. I feel like that's okay, though, right?
Hey, Dan, Robert, where's that brick?
Give me that brick.
Yeah. That's an okay ambition, right? Okay.
This is Chicago. There should be bricks.
Oh, everywhere.
City of bricks. Yeah.
That's our nickname.
Now. Neumann had worked out a plan with Masayoshi in 2018 to sell the bulk of WeWork stock for $16 billion to SoftBank. Now, Vanity Fair says that this was Neumann's escape plan. Quote, he and his investors would be insanely rich. This was a pivotal moment, a former WeWork executive recalled. Adam was acting like the SoftBank deal was done and we would be flush with cash. So he was planning on, again, like cashing out and escaping, which kind of hints to the fact that he doesn't believe any of this. He was just trying to get a big enough investment that he could get the fuck out.
That's the thing that these guys, like every time we go through a story about these types of guys, their one failing is they take the grift too far and they don't know when to just bail on it. Like with the guy we talk about, with Alex Jones, he should have just bailed a while back. He nailed his grift. He got what he needed.
Could have walked away with a net worth $5 to $10 million.
Way more than that.
I'm saying minimum. Yeah.
After the election, probably could have.
Yeah.
Like at a great golden parachute.
They're not capable.
Once you hit the grift, get out, and they just don't do it.
Because none of them are as
smart. None of them are as smart as Tom from MySpace.
No.
Right.
Cash out $600 million doesn't destroy democracy, goes and retires.
Perfect.
I got nothing against Tom.
Did he cash out for $600 million?
Yeah, he did great.
Good on Tom.
And you know what he didn't destroy? Democracy. Yeah, anything. He provided bands a way to share their mediocre music.
And gave us
MIDI files.
Cook.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever been like, like, oh man, MySpace really facilitated the Uyghur
genocide. Uyghur genocide. Yeah. Nobody hates Tom. He's rich as shit, and it's fine.
You know what, though? You know what, though? Almost everybody who was on MySpace, who was old enough to have been on it, has a negative opinion of him because you were forced to be his friend. And we should forgive him for that.
He's like the elevator of...
You know what? I'll go about and say, the only cool person worth hundreds of millions of dollars? Tom.
Tom.
Tommy.
Hey, Tommy.
Tommy. So, he's got this SoftBank deal. Doesn't matter that he shows up hungover to a meeting with the head of the Abu Dhabi Sovereign Wealth Fund. But then that SoftBank deal for $16 billion falls through.
Oh, no.
Because people other than Masayoshi Son took a look at the company financials and decided that WeWork, which was losing at this point billions of dollars a year, maybe wasn't the best way to invest $16 billion. Yeah. Masayoshi agreed to invest another $2 billion. But at the rate WeWork burned through, yeah, which is still like... This is why I say two things. Money isn't real, and it's dumb as shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen, your company's fucked. Here's $2
billion. Here's $2 billion.
Yeah.
I was about to be like, this is what happens when you have a group of people around you who is willing to say no to you. And then it was like, oh, it's only $2 billion. I was like, never mind. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, fuck this guy.
This is stupid.
Eat them all. So... At the rate WeWork burned through cash, $2 billion brought the company 8 months, something like that. Eight, 9 months. They lost $1.3 billion in the first 6 months of this year.
$2 billion buys you 8 months? That's insane.
Eight, nine. I'm not going to do the exact
math. It's a lot of leases,
They lost $1.3 billion in 6 months, so 8-9 months seems fair. Yeah, it's absurd. And less than Uber loses. Yeah. Now...
it's all like real estate expenses, right? Like it's got like,
it's fucking leases.
Yeah.
He's paying leases so other people will pay him lease.
And he's giving them free rent.
In order to suck them in.
Yeah.
Lure them in.
But he just keeps giving free rent, so they just keep moving around business. It's a terrible business. This it's a not great good. Con.
Yeah. That's a great that's a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
If I've ever heard of
basically, essentially. In every way but the legal way.
Yeah.
Which is the best kind of Ponzi scheme. Yeah.
Like there should be a legal problem there.
It does seem like he should be fired out of a catapult for his crimes.
Yeah.
Now, so again, the $2 billion just gave WeWork months of breathing room, not what they really needed. And so Adam started to get desperate for more funding. And I'm going to quote again from Vanity Fair.
So he started dogfighting.
See, you're trying to escape.
And this is where our sponsor, Dogfighter, without an E, comes into the product. Use code BASTARDS on Dogfighter and you'll get... All right, I'm going to quote from Vanity Fair. According to sources, he pitched Apple CFO Luca Maestri on doing a deal with WeWork. It's unclear why Apple would want to invest in WeWork, and not surprisingly, the company passed. Neumann went to Google and proposed a partnership. They, too, passed. Neumann batted around other investment ideas. He earlier discussed buying Slack. He sat there saying, "What companies can we buy? Maybe we should buy Slack," a former executive recalled. When Neumann returned to WeWork's New York headquarters later that winter, he seemed desperate. He barked orders and haphazardly reorganized divisions, at one point having as many as 20 direct reports, according to a former WeWork executive. "Masa said we're going to be a trillion-dollar company," he shouted, according to a former executive who heard it. "You're thinking billions, and we should be thinking trillions. You people need to be better than you are." Neumann seemed shocked by the scale of WeWork's losses. Sources say he tangled with WeWork's then-CFO Artie Minson over the cash squeeze. Minson declined to comment, but a former senior executive said Neumann drove the decision-making. Nothing could happen without Adam. Former executives said Neumann often reacted poorly. "You don't bring bad news to the cult leader," one said.
Whoa.
I've never heard that before.
No, but someone's making, you know, making that pretty blunt.
More than one!
Yeah.
It's like that old phrase, kill the messenger. That's the idea, right?
I guess.
That's the way that you succeed.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where Steve Jobs is a guy I come back to a lot because he had a lot of this in him. But he also had, I guess it's a difference of they both Neumann and Jobs have this kind of deep understanding of the human psyche that allows them to manipulate people in a profound way. Jobs uses it to figure out something people want that they don't know they want. And then deliver it and create, changes the entire world, the smartphone. He knew before anyone else what exactly everyone in the world wanted to carry in their pocket and would addict them and everything. And he was right.
Yeah.
Neumann knows how to manipulate people, uses it to get billions of dollars in investment, but provides nothing. And I'm not going to say what jobs provided is a net good, obviously, because smartphones fucking complicated as shit in terms of that. But at least it's a thing.
It's more
you
than
you can't argue
this.
With it. Not it's not a Ponzi scheme.
It exists.
It's not. It's maybe like heroin, but it's not a Ponzi scheme.
Right. Yeah. This guy just a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, like a lot of
and mostly the idea of how to convince investors.
Yeah. He's a megalomaniac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, there were bright spots for WeWork in 2018. Earlier in that year, J.P. Morgan had led a $700 million bond offering for WeWork. While Adam's charisma had started to fail with Masayoshi, it worked on J.P. Morgan's CEO, Jamie Dimon. Jamie Dimon is a profound piece of shit, one of the architects of the 2008 financial crash. We'll probably do
so
an episode
on that.
So I assume
he went to jail for his participation.
No, of course not.
No,
he's a CEO.
Because I remember specifically that we held those people accountable to make sure that it would never happen again.
No, nope. He went to jail for the eventual dogfighting ring he ran with with Neumann.
That's when Michael Vick took over JP Morgan.
Yeah. Jamie Dimon's bank handed Adam a $100 million personal loan and a $500 million personal credit line.
That's not that much for him, though, right? Like, yeah. Based on...
It's
like,
too much.
Well, sure. But, yes. Like, you were saying, like, $2 billion.
He was worth $4 billion at this point on paper.
Right.
But he's also got $750 million that he owes the company.
Right.
Yeah.
Oof, that's tough.
Yep.
I feel bad, like... Just being broke, way better. Than
but you're
that.
Rich,
way better than
but
that.
But when you're that broke, it comes back broke. Around to rich.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the way it works.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I played a sim game. I remember when I was like in my early teens. That was essentially like creating an apartment building.
Sim Tower.
Sim Tower. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I remember that so clearly, and I was really good at it. And I feel like I would run WeWork a lot better than that if I just had a SimCity.
Well, because you wouldn't try to make it everything. Yeah. You would try to run a very simple company that leases office space works. To people that need it, which is fine.
Yeah. like, knowing Jordan, he'd put a movie theater in the basement where you're supposed to put parking. And then just
I would shape it like a guitar.
No, but you do remove the fire escapes because that shit's expensive.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't afford that.
No, and the extinguishers, detectors. For buildings sure. don't catch on fire. If I know one thing about Chicago history, it's that fires never happen.
It's all a myth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's all a lie.
Every smoke detector is definitely real and hooked up all the time. mm-hmm. Guaranteed.
Now, Adam was heard to brag to people that Jamie Dimon, one of the architects, again, of the financial crash, was now his personal banker and might soon leave J.P. Morgan to run Adam's family investment office. Speaking of family, Adam had started bragging that his children would follow him as the leadership of WeWork. And speaking of unfathomable nepotism, let's talk a little bit more about Adam's relationship to Jared Kushner.
They hung out at that fire.
They hung out a lot.
Oh, God.
See, it turns out that the Neumanns and the Kush clan are actually very close friends.
Don't call them that.
That is what they are.
The Kush clan?
Did Betsy Davis work with WeWork?
They did body shots a lot.
What the fuck is going on? Is all evil surrounded by itself?
Eric yep. Prince ran security at the school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also did body shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ceausescu came back to life just to run things.
Sure. Now, Jared clearly believed in Adam's promised ability to change the world. In the summer of 2018, WeWork executives rather suddenly learned that Adam had been drafted by Kushner to work on Jay Kush's Mideast peace plan.
Don't call him Neumann, Jay Kush.
I will. Neumann had put WeWork's director of development, Ronnie Behar, on the task of finding an advertising firm to put together a video for Kushner about how an economically revitalized West Bank in Gaza might look. This...
I'm never ever envious of their money. I don't even understand $1 billion, but the confidence that it takes, the ridiculous, insane confidence that it takes for you to be a shitty WeWork CEO and be like, I think, you know what? I'm going to solve Middle East peace. Fuck you.
For the CEO
That's
of
insane.
An office leasing company and the son of a man who went to prison for real estate scams.
Yeah.
To sit down together and be like, you know, this conflict.
I think we can do it.
We can deal with this shit.
I think we can bang it out in 4 years.
All I can think of is like, do they like each other?
I think so.
Yeah.
I do think they do.
Okay.
I think that's why he gets this task.
Part of me wonders if they're even capable of liking each other, you know?
It seems like each would
like
know
each
that the other
the
is
way,
a fraud,
yeah,
right? I mean, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think. I think Trump. Maybe does. I don't know how much he believes in himself, but I think Kushner is just that deluded.
Yeah.
Right. And dumb and has always been rich and totally special. And I think...
Oh, man. I don't think his dad Neumann,
I think,
wrong?
Might actually know he's a con artist. I go back and forth on the guy.
Yeah.
I think Kushner really is genuine about his beliefs.
Right.
I just think he's stupid as shit.
No, I think that... I think Trump is so analogous to Alex Jones that it's insane. Like, that idea of you waffling back and forth, like... Is this guy stupid? Does he know? Mm-hmm. Is he insane? What is he doing?
Yeah, and I don't waffle on Kushner. I think he's just never not been rich and has no concept of reality.
Okay.
I think that about Kushner and is a lot of people around him. I don't know. Adam might be in the same boat, or he might be like a literal sociopath. Right. I really don't know with Adam, but I think Kushner is just completely out of reality. Okay. So sources... close to Adam Neumann tend to credit the $4.4 billion infusion of SoftBank cash with inflating Adam's ego beyond the realm of sanity.
How could
the
it money not?
And the what?
How could it not?
How could it not? Yeah. No, that is fair. Like, of course that would break you. If I got $4.4 billion, I would have 1,000 tanks tomorrow.
I hate Journey, and I would make people dance around a fire to Journey if someone.
Of course you would. Who wouldn't? It is the equivalent of giving someone a mental illness to give them that much money.
Absolutely.
It's terrible for you. There's a lot of data on that.
Mm-hmm.
The money and the international success of WeWork got him sit-down meetings with world leaders discussing the refugee crisis and problems of peace and war with people like the president of Canada.
Okay, so what he does is lease space.
Yeah.
And now he is working with world leaders.
Yes.
On, I assume, the thing that he is an expert at, leasing space.
Solving the refugee crisis.
Okay, that's very different.
Not
the same thing.
See, the reason all these people are leaving Syria, not enough leases.
Not enough leases.
Okay. Bashar al-Assad reduced the number of leases.
You're right. Retract my argument.
Assad's big thing was like, there's no office space. He hates leases. Yeah.
He only gassed non-leased space.
Right.
Now, one former executive claims when Adam got in front of world leaders, it was like he started thinking he was one. And I'd like to quote now from a particularly batshit insane Gizmodo article, which covers Adam's ambitions as a global peacemaker. And this might be the most deluded paragraph anyone's ever written. The paragraph itself is not deluded, but what it's about is so deluded I can't fucking describe it.
I will shit in BB's mouth right now. Is that the sentence?
No, but you should put down your mic.
Okay.
In conversations with people inside and outside the company, Neumann's pronouncements became wilder. He told one investor that he'd convinced Rahm Emanuel to run for president in 2020 on the WeWork agenda. Emanuel did not respond to a request for comment. Neumann told colleagues that he was saving the women of Saudi Arabia by working with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to offer women coding classes, according to a source. In another meeting, Neumann said three people were going to save the world: bin Salman, Jared Kushner, and Neumann. Shortly after the news broke in October 2018, that Saudi agents tortured dissident and Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi and carved his body with a bone saw, likely on order from the Crown Prince himself, Neumann told George W. Bush's former national security advisor Stephen Hadley that everything could be worked out if bin Salman had the right mentor. Confused, Hadley asked who that person might be. According to a source familiar with the meeting, Neumann paused for a moment and said, "Me!"
Yes. Your boy.
There it is.
You are... on a special level of deluded. When George W. Bush's former national security advisor is like, this guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I only killed hundreds of millions of people.
Hundreds of thousands.
This guy is fucking nuts, man.
Honestly, I believe that ROM part, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally believe that.
Yeah, that's within the realm of believable.
It's a WeWork agenda. Within the realm of believability, yeah.
All right.
He wanted to be bin Salman's mentor.
I
that dude, terrible guy, but not an idiot, would shit him out. Like,
oh man.
Adam spent the first half of 2019 preparing for WeWork's long-awaited IPO. In the startup world, initial public offerings are the stuff of legend. When Apple went public, it created hundreds of millionaires in a matter of minutes. Even the secretary got rich. Google's IPO brought even more multimillionaires into the world. Employees of WeWork clearly expected their IPO would bring the same windfall. CEO Adam Neumann showed no outward signs of worry. His company had been valued at $47 billion earlier in the year, a fact that he hoped would bring even more VC money in, and ideally convince SoftBank that WeWork was safe to keep pumping money into, and hope it will convince any of my not-convinced listeners money isn't real and is dumb as shit.
What kind of person is
$47 billion?
$47 billion.
Half a Bezos.
That's an insane number.
That's insane.
It's idiotic. It is an idiotic number. Yeah.
There.
12,000 people who I don't know what they're doing. Picking lamps?
Sure.
It is also
stocking the kegs.
The entire system enables these lunatics.
The entire system is built by them.
Yeah.
And I...
But there has to be some grunt worker at one of these, at Moody's or whatever, who's just like, they're not worth this much, guys. And then the top better than that. Yeah, fuck it, we'll put...
I think all of the grunt workers are like, yeah, this grift ain't gonna last long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna get my $19 an hour while I can. Yeah.
Look at these assholes.
Yeah. So, the reality of WeWork's success was less attractive than the $47 billion valuation. By 2019, more than $12 billion of venture capital and debt had been pumped into the company and lost. And while it's true that WeWork's revenue had doubled every year and also lost hundreds of millions of dollars per year and eventually billions of dollars per year, and there were no signs of this trend abating. On September 18th, 2019, the Wall Street Journal published a massive expose on WeWork, revealing details about its toxic internal culture and, more worryingly to the suits, details about Adam's own self-dealing. The report, based in part on the August filing his employees had made to the SEC as part of the IPO process, revealed that Adam had taken out more than $740 million in personal loans on his company's stock. Since Adam was dyslexic, he had to have his advisors brief him on the revelations in the story. While he huddled with his people to work out a response to the damning article, investors and board members called for him to step down. Adam was initially defiant, telling one colleague, "I'm never not going to be CEO." But that was not in his hands anymore. WeWork's CFO held a conference call with the board of directors and said that Adam had to step down. Jamie Dimon soon joined the consensus, arguing that WeWork would never get investors to pump in more money while Neumann was CEO. The company that had been worth $47 billion mere weeks ago now teetered on the edge of bankruptcy. In the end, Adam stepped down. His wife was forced to leave the company too. But don't worry about them. They walked away with a severance package worth roughly $1.5 billion.
And she's still a licensed yogi.
And a licensed yogi, so they can make income still.
Was she licensed or was she...
Certified?
Certified.
Excuse me.
It's very different. Who's the licensing board for yogis?
Well, I mean, she knows the Dalai Lama. She was at his birthday.
Yeah.
Masayoshi Son agreed to pump another $9.5 billion into WeWork as a rescue package. All talk of exponential growth and world conquest were gone, though. WeGrow was shuttered suddenly, leaving dozens of wealthy parents with no fancy school to send their children to. Many were, presumably, forced to go with, avert your eyes, gentlemen, public schools. This is the best private schools all have long waiting lists. 4,000 employees, one-third of WeWork's workforce, were laid off. More layoffs are likely to come. And that is, more or less, where things stand now. Adam Neumann vaporized more than $10.5 billion, stole another $1.5 billion, put thousands of people out of jobs, and raised the cost of real estate in cities throughout the globe.
Yeah, that's a little side effect of this that... That gets sort of under-recognized.
Yep.
Oh, the part where he's like, I'll pay double for this?
Yeah.
That is an issue.
It's like, even as this collapses, all the people who would have used the space or were using it before, now it might be prohibitive for them. That's something I didn't even consider.
Or the landlords are going to collapse, which isn't my primary worry. But still, compared to him, people who operated reasonably legitimate businesses. It's just a lot of human shrapnel in the wake of this. But he's got $1.5 billion.
Good for him.
No, not good for him. No, bad.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Fuck that guy.
So Jordan, I want to tell you about a dream I have.
Yes.
It's a dream of a group of people, group of human beings. Okay. Pushing for their greatest potential, vibrating off of one another. Positive vibrations.
Maybe machetes are involved.
We got machetes.
I like machetes.
We got machetes.
Okay.
We're all drunk.
All right.
Really drunk.
So far,
and we're
I'm
just
on board.
We're just shoving Neumanns off the buildings. Just right off the top. Maybe a Kushner or two.
Right. Now, I have a personal sense of morality.
that I believe precludes me
from doing. You'll learn to subsume that to the group.
But I really think I can just let that go for a little while.
There you go.
You know, I feel like a temporary suspension of morality is fine when it comes
now,
to...
Now, we all got to shave our heads. We live in yurts. Okay. These are all key aspects.
Do I get to push him myself?
Yes.
What if?
Okay, well, then I'm done.
What if I were to tell you you'll get a cubicle on Mars?
On Mars?
Oh yeah, this ends in Mars.
Yeah.
Hold
yeah.
on. Quick question.
Yeah.
Oxygen.
No.
Okay.
But you won't need it by the time we get
one
there.
Of them, no.
Yeah.
The kegs
provide the oxygen.
I'll take the deal.
Wow. So, gentlemen, this is the Adam Neumann story. An asshole who did nothing but scam people.
Seems to have it fell apart pretty recently, it seems like.
Yep, just within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I do like his meteoric rise and fall to only having $1.5 billion. I
really
think
a tragedy.
Means the system works.
We should subsidize an extra couple billion for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Where's Masayoshi with that $16 billion, huh?
He only gave 9. Well, 11.
I've got something to sell him, and it's called... regular leasing.
And it's like the Masayoshi, the whole reason he has all that money is that he invested a bunch of money in Alibaba back when it was tiny and it was one of the biggest things ever. But like clearly he's a dumb guy who got lucky once. Oh, I'd tell him that to his face. I think you're dumb. I don't think you're very smart. You got taken in by this shit.
Let's crowdfund an opportunity for Robert to tell him to his face he's dumb.
More people need to do that to these people. I watched a documentary recently. I was in Amsterdam, and I had an opportunity to attend a movie at the documentary festival that they hold there. And it was a documentary about the World Economic Forum in Davos. And it was the kind of thing where, as I was giving it, we found out that, like, I think Klaus Schwab, the guy who founded it, was like three rows behind us in the room and stuff. Like, they did a Q&A with him afterwards. But this documentary, which will be, I think, out for the general public soon, is very much worth watching. And it's about, like, behind the scenes at Davos. It's the first one that's been able to do that. So it's really a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of kind of, like, you get a feel for these people as human beings and what they actually believe.
And which they aren't.
I mean, they are. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So there's a great moment in it where the head of Greenpeace – confronts Jair Bolsonaro in a soiree sort of thing about ostensibly like she's been talking the whole thing about how she wants to like confront him and these other people with their damage to the climate, and she gets a chance to, and she basically says like, well, you know, we're looking at what you're going to do to the Amazon, like everybody's watching, and then walks away, and Jerry like clearly doesn't give a shit, like doesn't have the least impact on her, and all of her friends are like, I can't believe how brave you are, you're so brave, you did this great thing, and like that's the fucking problem. Like, if you go up to Jair Bolsonaro and you don't have a lining of questioning that's going to make him awkward, bottle him. Hit him in the face with a bottle.
Ooh.
Nobody does that to these people.
Ooh.
Nobody bottles them. Nobody bottles these people.
That is true. I will back you up that no one does
no one
do
does
that.
Yes.
What do y'all think at the end of this?
I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah. Like whenever you hear a story like this about somebody who like there's a like real like not terrible. I mean, he's got $1 billion, although that is terrible. But like whenever there's a big fall, like, it's just so clear over and over. Like there's so many times at which where there should have been like, hey, you said you wanted fucking offices on Mars. Hey, you want to be president of the world.
Yeah.
There's like indications along the way that like someone should have stepped in. And just we have a system that's based on no one ever stepping in.
Yeah.
Like as long as the pretense is there and the appearances of, you know, like this is moving in the right direction, people are profiting off it, that then there's no incentive to be like, hey, you seem like you're acting out here. There's something you're acting out that we should probably deal with.
Yeah.
And you just let it happen, and then it just plays its course and everyone gets hurt. That's how I feel anyway.
The way I view it is, because I'm trying to exist in the present without losing my mind. So the way I view it tends towards like trying to find a historical context to all of this stuff. And these types of lunatic grifters have been around since the fucking beginning. It's only the scale that has gotten larger. So I never know if this shared imaginary idea of $47 billion, which just doesn't exist.
No, it's
like
never
it's just
existed.
Imaginary.
It's
yeah.
just fantasy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's not like that's too much different from so many, you know, like obviously the
1929 stock exchange crash, because all of that shit was imaginary too. Go back further and you get so many different times the economy collapsed in London, because that was all imaginary too. Like, all of this shit. And the only thing that's changed, though, is that now a company like WeWork is influencing some dumb guy who invested in Alibaba along with MBS. And now he's given power to help solve the Middle East peace crisis.
He seems qualified.
You know, like it used to be
he was on a kibbutz
when
in
a financial
Gaza.
Guy yeah. just fucked up. The people in the financial world died, not like fucking the entirety of Palestine.
Part of the problem with our system is that if you're good at one thing and that one thing allows you to make money, then we decide you're good at everything, because money is really the only thing that matters. So
money,
if you're good at money,
intelligence,
you get to control healthcare. Yeah. You get to control foreign policy. You get to pick where the army guys go.
I mean, how different is it, like the idea that this guy is having conversations about foreign policy, how different is it than Trump was a landlord and is now president?
How different is it than a king?
Yeah.
This guy's parents were the king, so now he's in charge of the army.
Yeah, and what was the original reality show but the royalty?
It's 15% smarter than a monarchy, but not a lot.
No.
The original reality show might have been royalty, but the one that'll change the game is you getting tricked by every cult leader in the world.
I really want to. That would be a great... I want to find out. It's one of those, like, I want to test myself against the best.
You'd fail every test.
Yeah, that's the problem. You just need to reduce those people.
I want to enter the dragon.
Via pushing them off of buildings.
Okay, here's my new pitch, right? Okay, if I don't get taken in by the cult leader, I get all of their money and power. Let's raise the stakes for both of us.
You can't have their power because you're constitutionally incapable from doing the emotional equivalent of raping people, which is what cult leaders do.
Right.
And their money isn't real.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is.
That is true.
Sometimes it is. Ron Hubbard's, that shit was real. motherfucker had real lucre.
Rolling the dice.
He owed it all to somebody else. He just kept it. Tricked them into giving him stacks. Tax-exempt status.
Damn. Ugh, none of these guys are as good as LRH.
He successfully
pulled one out for one of the real ones.
The realist one.
Yeah. What was it? Operation White Cat?
Oh, Snow
something?
White.
Snow White.
When he invaded, I was more a fan of the time he made his own private navy.
Of course.
For 10 years. God, I love L. Ron Hubbard. You can't not
salute
love the guy.
To the Admiral.
To the Admiral. Yeah. Commodore.
I love Andy Daly as L. Ron Hubbard, and L. Ron Hubbard should burn in hell twice.
We're going to end this episode ignoring Jordan's statement.
Fair.
With a statement of our undying love to L. Ron Hubbard.
Stop it.
And some plugs for your pluggables. Yeah.
We do a podcast called Knowledge Fight about That's Alex true. Jones. We put out too much content. People can find it by Googling. KnowledgeFight.com is our website, and you know, we're on iTunes and all that stuff.
Yeah. On Twitter, it's at @knowledge_fight.
Yep.
And I am Jordan. I am a comedian, still technically speaking. I am not busy. So go ahead and
book
tweet
him
me
for
at GoToBedJordan.
He's available for any dates in Nome, Alaska.
Absolutely. Nome is high on my list. Yeah. I will also do corporate gigs exclusively for WeWork.
Only Nome.
There's
only
a WeWork in
Nome. There's
a
WeWork in Nome. Okay, well, then I will work for WeWork for, I guess, twice the cost of a normal comedian.
We riff.
But you got to send him up. You got to send him up double economy class.
Yeah.
That's
for
twice
sure.
his economy.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, this has been fantastic. And it's a pleasure to meet you in real life human person.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for inviting me to your wonderful city, Chicago, the city that sleeps occasionally.
Never.
Is often awake.
Yep.
Slightly broad shoulders, but not very.
The city of angels that is regularly awake, but often asleep, with broad shoulders and also an apple that is large and windy.
The city of grandfathered in 4 a.m. bars, I feel like, is what we should be known as.
Yeah, that's a good nickname.
Oh, that's true here, huh?
Yeah.
I
There's grandfathered in 5 a.m. bars.
I have completely changed my opinion of your city based on that knowledge.
On that?
I was going to just slander it for years after this. But now that I know that...
No, there's a bar near my place that is apparently so old, they open at 9 a.m. It's against the law to sell alcohol before 11, but if you've just been around long enough, all bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful
exactly.
for space, the sky is more amber, waves of grain. Well, I'm Robert Evans. This has been Behind the Bastards. BehindTheBastards.com sources. Bastards Pod, Twitter, Instagram. I am on Instagram at @IWriteOkay. Continue listening to this podcast. Listen to Knowledge Fight. It's what I listen to when I'm at the gym, when I'm driving, when I'm masturbating shamefully in someone else's kitchen.
Yeah.
Knowledge Fight. The podcast for all those moments.
That's what we set out to be. Really.
Also, there's t-shirts on TeePublic for my show.
And coming soon, I forgot what the t-shirt was.
I thought you were going to make a masturbation joke.
No.
Knowledge Fight. If you accidentally catch yourself in the mirror, don't look.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.